Praise the Lord Jesus.
Good to be here this morning. How many people have your Bibles with you this morning? Let me see the Bibles. I like to see them Bibles. Raise them up high.
If you didn't bring your Bible, don't be raising up songbooks, please.
When I was down in Mexico, I taught English to a bunch of young kids, and I learned all the tricks. So don't be holding up your songbooks and trying to con this preacher. I look like a preacher because I am a preacher by the grace of God. I am what I am. I am glad you're here. I enjoy preaching to people. There's no greater joy than to preach the gospel, preach the word of God. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. I hope it works. But it is a blessing that you're here. How many people invited somebody here today? Would you raise your hand? You invite somebody? That's pretty pitiful. Thank God for you guys that raised your hand. But that's pretty pitiful. You know, it's our job to be fishers of men. It's our job to encourage people to come to the house of God. Shame on you. Shame on you. You're going to have to pray this morning. See, I'm an evangelist. I'm a preacher of the gospel. Of course, you all know me. Most of you do. But seeing I know you too. I know who you are. I know your problem. I know what needs to be done here. And so I think Brother Kincaid and Brother Brian and Brother Steve invite evangelists in here, people to preach these revival meetings to stir things up. See. Maybe see some things that, you know, where they've gotten in a rut and they're not seeing some things. Well, I'm going to tell you some things that I've seen. And I don't mean to condemn anybody, but I just want to tell you like it is. One thing that I've seen is that, you know, that door is a swinging door around here. I mean, you guys just walk in and out all the time. I mean, this is not a football game where you go down and get a Coke when you don't like, you know, they're waiting too long in the huddle or something. You just go out and get a Coke or something. If you got to use the bathroom before the meeting starts, please. Hello. Now, I'm saying this for these pastors. I just think that's wrong. And some of you parents, you need to teach your children that. To sit still. They can't sit still for an hour. Give me a break. I'll tell you another thing. I think these meetings are just a little bit too quiet for my blood. Now, I don't know what kind of church you envision of having, but I don't ever envision having a quiet church. Teaching polls to praise the Lord is a hard thing. They're just not used to do that. They eat too much sauerkraut over there. And so they're not used to praising the Lord. And, you know, I remember when Old Knoll was known as a praising church. Hey, that's what brought me. I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I remember driving up here on Callahan Road, coming around the corner on Old Knoll, and hearing these brothers and sisters down there singing. And I just put the pedal to the metal a little bit faster. I want to get in on that action. Hey, hello, are you awake this morning? I'd like everybody to stand up and, you know, shake the dust off your feet or something. Everybody's just stand up here. I mean, just shake it off. I mean, you know, you can move your arms a little bit. Hey, try this one. Praise the Lord. Now try this one. Praise the Lord. Ain't we having a time? Feel better? All right, you can sit down. Now, I'm going to make an appointment with you. You come back Saturday night, Lord willing. I'm going to tell you why I think you ought to praise the Lord and why I think you ought to shout out amen every once in a while, why I think you ought to raise your hands every once in a while. I just think it ought to be done. This has nothing to do with my message. See, this is all free. I'm just giving you some of my opinion. This is extra. I haven't even started preaching yet. But I think that's, you know, what do you envision, people, of a godly church? I mean, what is your vision of a church of God? What kind of church do you like to be a part of? Hey, I want to go to a church where people are friendly. Not this, you know, fake friendliness. I'm talking about friendly. I don't want anything fake. Don't want any pretenders. I want some real people, but I want them to, you know, be friendly. I want somebody to shake my hand and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Good to see you. Hey, what's your name? Isn't that the kind of church you like? Hey, I don't like going to churches where nobody shakes your hand. Do you like that? Well, then you ought to shake somebody's hand.
Amen.
You ought to find somebody's face that you don't recognize. Hey, do I know you? You might find out they've been coming here for a year or so, but I don't know. But, you know, you ought to go up and shake their hand. And if you can't remember their name, why don't you just ask them? I don't remember any of your names. I'm sorry. I just have to ask you. I see too many faces nowadays. I just don't remember names. So I'll ask you time. I might ask you three times in a row. Forgive me. But I'm interested in you. I want to see a friendly church. Hey, I want to see a joyous church. Now, a joyous church is that's a church where everybody participates. I understand the concept of the church of God. The church is a body. That means I should not be the only mouth around here. Hello. That means, you know, it's not just one big mouth, a whole bunch of ears out there. The body, everybody functions, see? If you read your Bible, I'm going to jump to my sermon on Saturday, but you're supposed to say amen every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that. And if the Word of God pierces you and cuts you, it ain't nothing wrong with saying, oh me, oh woe is me, it got me. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, that's a blessing. It's a blessing to the man that stands behind this pulpit and preaches an encouragement to him. And not only that, you're supposed to give God the glory. Hey, you know what else? I like to come to church where everybody sings. And I don't call reading the Word singing. Now, some of you think what I do ain't singing either, but I understand. But what I'm saying is, you make some kind of noise loud, you know. When I read the Psalms, it says with a loud voice, see. You understand? I also like to come to a church where there's good preaching. Now, that's my part. And I don't know if I'm going to preach good or not, unless you pray. And you pray that God blesses. And so open your Bibles. You have your Bibles, right? To Matthew in chapter 20, and we're going to read the Word of God. And I want you to fasten your seatbelt today, because I'm going to say some things that are going to shock you. Okay, I'm warning you beforehand. I'm going to say, now, some of you zealous brothers, I don't want you coming here and pulling me out of the pulpit until I'm finished. I want you to give me a chance to finish. See, but because I'm going to say some things that are going to shock some of you people. I mean, this church is kind of hard to shock because you've got some hard-nosed preachers around here. You know, it's just hard to get this church to move because they've already heard it all and they've already been plowed over so many times. You know, we got to add some fertilizer to this place. I mean, it just the ground just been worked up so much. But let's read the Bible and see what it has to say. In Matthew in chapter 20, I'm beginning at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyards. And that's probably about 6 o'clock in the morning. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, mark it down, there's a flag, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour, that's probably around noon, and the ninth hour, probably about 3 p.m., and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, that's probably getting around about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever, mark it down, whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, and the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. And I think we need to pray. Father, I'm not even worthy to stand up here and preach your word. If it wasn't for the grace of God, the grace of your Son, the mercy and the blood of Christ, Lord, I couldn't stand here today. And Lord, sometimes I don't even feel like I got the strength. Maybe not even the right spirit. Lord, I'm afraid of my own pride. I'm afraid of my own coldness and indifference. Lord, my own heart deceives me. God, I can only ask you to give me mercy. I pray you have mercy upon this church also. God, I pray. I confess the pride of this church. I confess the coldness and the lukewarmness. Whatever it is that hinders your blessing and the outpouring of your spirit upon this church, whatever that hinders revival, renewal, Lord, I confess it. And God, I ask you to have mercy. I ask you to have mercy upon us. And I ask you to have mercy upon us because of Jesus Christ, your Son. And I ask you now in that blessed name the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've read some very interesting things in the Bible. How many of you read your Bible? You read your Bible? Now, you know, this chapter is just, this parable, this story, this is just very interesting. I'm going to need your help here this morning. I'm going to need your help and that you pray. I don't know if I'm going to get through this sermon. Never preached a sermon before in my life. I don't know if I'm going to do it right, say it right, but I'm going to ask you to pray. But I'm also going to ask you to help me. I'm going to ask you some questions this morning, and I want you to answer them. All right? Would you do that for me? What do you think about this situation? This man that owns this vineyard gets up early in the morning, like I said, probably around 6 o'clock, goes out, sees some men standing around, and says, look, I need some laborers. Look like they need work. Would you like to work for me? Sure, would. Would you come work? I'll pay you. And they said, sure, we'll go work for you. So they agree. They go out, probably maybe they get out there by 7, maybe. They might, even this man might even got up earlier, maybe got out there, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, was out looking for laborers. Maybe they started at 6, but whatever, you understand, very early in the morning. You know, there are 2 6 o'clocks on the clock, you know, you didn't know that, some of you. There is a 6 o'clock in the morning. Did you know that? Okay. There is a 6 o'clock in the morning. Some of you don't know that. Some of you sleep in at 10 or 11 o'clock every morning, don't know there's a 6 o'clock on that, two of them, not only in the morning, but in the afternoon. But he goes out and he hires some others. Picks them up, it says about the third hour, that's probably around 9 o'clock in the morning. Says, hey, would you like to work for me? Sure. We need some work. Would you go out in my field and labor? Gets out there about noon, finds some more. Says, hey, listen, I still need some laborers. Would you be interested in working for me? I'll pay you that which is right. Sure, we'll go. So he sends them out in the field. Gets out about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Find some other people standing around idle. Says, listen, I'd be interested to have you work. Are you interested in working? Sure, we'll work. There's my field. Go to it. Gets down there about the 11th hour. Here is 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He's still looking for some labor. Now, that's another sermon. But he's still looking for some laborers, and he finds some guys out there. And he says, would you like to work for me? I have some work to do up in my vineyard. Would you go? Sure, we'll go. Well, everything's fine and dandy. Everybody likes to get a job. You're looking for a job. You need a job. This story's everything up to here. Everybody's in agreement, right? Nobody has a problem with this story up to this point. Nobody has a problem with going to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. Nobody has a problem with going to work at 9 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock noon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon or even 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Nobody has a problem with this story. You see, the problem comes in when this man calls his laborers in, and now it's payday. And now we've got some problems, and I'm going to find out just how honest you people are here today. I want you to be honest with me. Before God and man, I want you to be honest. Now he comes up here, and this man worked but 1 hour probably. He's probably worked, he got 1 hour in. 6 o'clock, they shut things down. Getting dark out. He's got 1 hour in, the man pays him a penny. But he says, oh, well, that's pretty good. Work 1 hour, you've got a full day's wage. That's pretty good. I like that. Like this story so far. Up to this point, we don't have a problem, do we? Everybody thinks that's fair and square. That's great. Now that guy that started working about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he comes in, he gets the same thing. Do we still think it's fair? Do you still think that's fair? You don't think that's fair. You're disagreeing with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't want to talk to you. Do you think this is my son-in-law, by the way. Would you stand up? This is my son-in-law. I have to treat him nice, see? This is my son-in-law. You can sit down now. They already know my daughter. They don't know who you are, see? Nobody knows who you are. Did you think that was fair? Be honest. Oh, now you're going to opinionate. We don't want opinions around here. Now that guy comes in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, see, and he's getting paid the same thing. You think that's fair? Then the guy comes in at 12 o'clock and he gets paid. You know, I kind of think, well, maybe the guy at 3 o'clock, well, okay, yeah, he gets paid the same thing. That's, you know, a couple hours. But then that guy come in there in the morning. He'd been there since 6 o'clock in the morning. He put in a 12-hour day. See? And don't you know what's running through his mind? Hey, man, that first guy got a full day's wage. What am I? I'm going to get overtime here. That's what he's thinking. And he comes down in, and Jesus gives him the same thing. Do you think that's fair? What is this? Everybody disagrees with Jesus this morning. It's not fair. We live in America where we think everything has to be fair. Well, frankly, I don't think it's fair either. And I went through my Bible reading it, and there's some things that just don't seem fair to me. Just don't seem fair. I've got an argument with God. And that's why I say, God help us this morning. I think about that old man Adam. Adam sins, and I got to pay his wage? That's just not fair. Adam disobeyed God. I didn't hear the voice of God. I didn't see him walking around in the garden. And I gotta die because of that?
Do you think that's fair? Now, I know we're right there on the border of dangerous ground. I understand. I don't think it's fair that Rahab the harlot gets to be listed in the book of Hebrews as a person of great faith. I mean, there are still some virtuous women in the world today. There are some women that have not plied their wares on the city, on the wall of the city. There are some women still, believe it or not, in this country, there are some women that aren't out walking the street. There are some women that when a young man starts pawing all over, they slap him across the face, they quit that and get out of the car and go home. There are still some women that have virtue. And Rahab gets to be listed in Hebrews chapter 11 with those of great faith. How can that be? Is that fair? Why not Rebecca? Hey, there's some godly women in this book. Why not them? Rahab gets to be in Hebrews chapter 11. I don't understand. Doesn't seem fair to me. Hey, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Now, I read a lot about all preachers. I like to know how to preach. Hey, man, I read about some of them guys preaching in this book, and they get souls saved. I remember reading about Peter. He preached on Pentecost. 3,000 saved. Man, I'd like to preach about Peter, but I think, what in the world is Peter getting to preach for? Why does Peter get to preach Pentecost? It wasn't but a few days before, he's standing out in that garden warming himself with the wrong crowd, cussing up a storm, and denying the Savior. Now, how come he gets to preach Pentecost? Why not John the Baptist? I don't think it's fair. Do you think it's fair? How about you? You're a preacher. You think that's fair? Careful now. Careful now. Every idle word. I don't know if this is going to work. This crowd's been around the book too long. I can tell he wasn't raising the song book. Well, I don't think it's fair. Peter gets to preach. I mean, I know some godly preachers here. Why don't they get to preach Pentecost? Why don't they get to preach and stand up and see 3,000 saved? How about Jonah? Jonah gets to preach the greatest revival throughout all history, as far as I can tell. I mean, nobody had the results like Jonah had. Can you name anybody that comes close to Jonah? I don't think George Whitfield don't come close. Jonah, he wasn't no volunteer for Jesus. You think that's fair? I don't know about this church. First, I think, these guys are, sold out for God. And then we got a bunch of liberals on this side over here disagreeing with God. I can't believe it. That's pretty gutsy, That's pretty not fair. I'm preaching here. You got to be quiet. You just answer the question. I don't have no comments. Just answer the question. This is not an essay test. You just fill in the blank. You understand what I'm saying here this morning? Jonah preaches the greatest revival, but he ran from God. I know some men that never ran from God. And when God sounded the volunteer list and said, I'm looking for a few good men, they raised their hands and said, here am I, send me. Amen. How come they didn't get to preach the great revival? How come Isaiah's got to go out and preach to a crowd that's not going to listen? I don't think that's fair. I happen to disagree with God on that. Now, we're getting on dangerous ground, I understand. But does it ever say in this book that I got to agree with God? Some of you Bible scholars read your Bible. Does it ever say I have to agree with God? How about Noah? I'm talking about preachers still. My Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. Now, I can understand before the flood, but after the flood, how is he still labored a preacher of righteousness? The guy got into a drunken fit, and some Bible scholars said he did some hanky-panky with his boy back there, see? Now, I don't call that righteousness. I can understand you call Noah maybe a preacher of righteousness before the flood, but after the flood? How is he still? And this is in the New Testament, the book of Peter. He's called a preacher of righteousness. How can that be? I know some preachers never got drunk before or after they were saved. Now tell me, you're talking about preachers. What about Paul? How come he gets the right half of the New Testament? Do you remember what Paul did? That guy went out and grabbed hold of Christians, grabbed a hold of them. I'm going to get my big old boy here so I don't get through this very often, see? Grabbed a hold of them, compelled them to blaspheme. And he gets the right half of the New Testament? Hey, I know some pretty, you say, well, he was zealous. Well, I know some pretty zealous people. How come they don't get saved? Some of you prayed for some people. How come they didn't get saved? Don't you just want to say, hey, that's not fair? Are you listening to me this morning? Amen. I'm trying to teach you something. All right, we can move on. There's more than preachers in the Bible. How about some just, everyday folk? I mean, they probably never stood behind a pulpit. How about Ananias and Sapphira? Here's some everyday folk. I mean, they had that big old blowout at Pentecost. And they're getting excited about serving God. And they go out and they make one of these faith mission promises. Hey, we're going to give everything we got, man. We're going to, you know what they did? Then they went out and sold everything they got. Now that takes some faith. And then they got to, they started losing some of that faith down at the end. And they got to thinking about it. Well, maybe we better not give it all. You know, we do have to be responsible for our own family, but let's just give a part of it. Now, what's wrong with that? And the man falls over dead. Now, some of you self-righteous hypocrites might say, well, he deserves that, but how come you don't fall over dead? Sometimes I think, well, yeah, Ananias, I think that, they got what they deserve, but then I wonder, how come everybody else don't fall around dead? Is that fair? I don't know about this liberal side. Maybe I'll go over here. Now, Bernie said I couldn't pick on her, but see, this is... Bernie, do you think that was fair?
What?
No, don't be... You heard the question. I didn't understand the question, see? I know how you are. You never know if Bernie, she was the top of her class at Trinity, wasn't she? Wasn't you the top? Weren't you the... Now, you can answer this one. Were you the top at Trinity or not?
In the top.
Oh, in the top. Well, that's pretty high anyway. I just went out and tried to buy a car from a lady. No, Bernie, when she was in high school, she was our top student. You'd never know that. Sorry, Bernie, I just had to... But do you think it's fair? What if God gave some of you a heart attack because you only gave part? Now tell me, how come God doesn't take you down like he took down Ananias' fire? And think that's fair? Hey, these are real people, by the way, we're talking about. This is not a fairy tale book we're reading. This is not the Koran. This is the Bible. We're reading the Word of God here. These are real people. Ananias and Sapphira lost their lives on that day. They dropped down dead. I don't know if they had children. Maybe they did. But they died because they only gave part. And I don't know which side of the fence you want to look at. You might not think it's fair that they died, or you might not think it's fair that people today don't die. Because you mark it down, some people sitting here tonight are only giving, or this morning, are only giving a part. How come you're not dead? Why does Jacob, the supplanter, get his name changed to Israel to be a prince of God? That guy plotted and schemed his whole entire life. He went in when his daddy's practically on his deathbed, and he cons his daddy, deceives his daddy. Now he get to be called Israel. Now I heard some people say there was something wrong with Jacob. He was a mama's boy. I mean, he had a chance to go hunting with his brothers, and he stayed home and made pudding or whatever he made, there's something wrong with that guy. No, I think I'll stay home and cook, Just don't know about that type, Just wonder. Now we're talking about men. Now why did Jacob's brother get to be Israel? Why is it Jacob? You think that's fair? Let me get way back. How about it, Brother Kincaid? You think that's fair? Oh, boy, he ain't afraid to say what he thinks. I'm not even going to ask Verlaine. You do realize that God changed Jacob's name to Israel, don't you, Brother Kincaid? Huh? Now, why does Solomon get to be called the wisest man? I don't know about you folks, but, I got married, and that gave me some wisdom. And I only married one. That dude, he married 700 of them. And that ain't enough. And then he got 300 extras around him in case they all had a headache, see? And God says that man's wise. Now, how come he gets to be called the wise? It don't take brains to figure that one out. Huh? It don't take but about a week with a woman to figure out this ain't going to work with 700 around here. If I even hinted to my wife, I'm thinking about getting a couple extras, I wouldn't be standing here today, see? Ain't that right? Yeah. We're getting on dangerous ground here. But Solomon was called wise. Yeah, I've known some wise men, and they didn't have no 700 wives and 300 concubines. Don't seem fair to me. How about Abraham? Some of the problems we got here today was because Abraham shacked up with Hagar. We invite these guys from over there in that Middle East over there in our country here, and we try to do things. Whose fault that was, don't you? See, that was Abraham way back then. You know what Abraham did? He takes his wife on a trip to Egypt. She wanted a vacation. He said, I'll take you to Egypt. We'll go see the pyramids. Gets his wife down there. He says, oh, by the way, we're traveling to some of these Muslim countries, and so, you know, it'd probably be good if you just said that you was my sister. We're talking about Abraham here. A friend of God doing that. How many of you ladies here today, your husband's going to take you down to some country and says, hey, don't tell anybody you're my wife. Just tell them you're my sister. Huh? How's that go? How would that go over? Huh? Doesn't seem fair, does it? Are you still with me?
Amen.
Hey, we've only just begun. How about Job? God have mercy. I'm on dangerous ground here. How about Job? God gets in a chess match with the devil, or a wager, or a challenge. I don't know what you call it. I want to say the right word. But he gets in this challenge where this devil challenges him. He says, all right, I'm going to take you up on it. We're just going to see. And so Job loses his family, all his children. He loses everything he has. His wife turns against him. And he's sitting out there in an ash heap with boils all over his face. Is that fair? How about that one? You ever read the book of Job? Don't seem fair, does it? How about a man named Uzzah? I don't know if you remember him. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name right. U-Z-Z-A-H. Uzzah. Remember Uzzah? Some of you don't even know who I'm talking about. You ought to read your Old Testament too, see? Now Uzzah, this guy that followed David when he put the ark on the cart, see? Remember that story? Well, somebody didn't do a good job. You didn't get the bearings on that cart going right. And so that cart started to wobble. And Uzzah, he just thought he'd help out, put his hand up there to stabilize it. And wham, he's dead. Now that don't seem fair to me. The man was just trying to help. He was just trying to help and he's dead! Somebody's going out with a daddy. Because he reached out and touched the ark. Just to help it. Think that's fair? How about Lot's wife? Uzzah, he just reaches out her hand. But you know what Lot's wife did? She just did this. Have you ever done that? Just walked along. And she's a pillar of stone. I teach my kids when they drive their, you know, they're driving their car, they got to do that every so many seconds, you know. You know, you got to look in the mirror, look back. Think that's fair? Don't you know that she had some children back in that city she was looking back at? Don't you know she invested some of her life back there? Maybe didn't get to take all her pictures out of her kids. And she looked back and she's a stone. Capital punishment. Dead. Not living anymore. Think that's fair? I'm asking, are you going to be honest with me this morning?
No.
You're not going to be honest with me or what? I don't understand.
No, it's not fair.
Do you think that's fair, brother? What is it with everybody disagreeing with God? I mean, it was God that turned her stone, right? Who are we to disagree with God? I don't know about this crowd. I mean, we're about split 50-50 here. How about that older brother? Remember the prodigal son? Here's this young guy. He says, Dad, I understand you're going to give us an inheritance you already got in the mutual funds or whatever. You got everything. I'd like my share now. Give it to me. He says, all right, son. I'll give it to you. And he goes out and finds him some harlots and whatever. And he spends it all on riotous living. Lives like the devil. Then he comes back and he wants a party. And that older son, been faithful to his dad, been out there laboring every day. And he's got a complaint and he's rebuked for it. Now, do you think that's fair? How many here he's serving his father day in and day out? And he don't get no party. How about Moses? You know what Moses did? No promised land for you. Did you understand what he did? This, he did this. No more for you. The man put up with Israel. This is the man that stood in the gap. This is the man. Hey, I don't understand this. I just don't understand it. This is the man that when God said, hey, I'm tired of these rascals. Let me alone. I'm going to destroy them. And Moses dares to stand before this Almighty God and said, now, Lord, we need to think about this a little bit. If you destroy these people, them guys down in Egypt are going to say you couldn't bring them out. Hey, Lord, you need to remember Abraham. See, this is Moses. He put up with them. I mean, it seemed like God got frustrated with, I don't know if that's the right word, but he would just got put out with Israel. Well, don't you think Moses, just a man made out of dust, don't you think he got frustrated with them a little bit? And so he did this. No promised land. Think that's fair? I don't. I mean, you just get frustrated in a moment's anger and you lose everything? Just like that? I mean, you read the lives of, you know, you read the lives of some of these people in the Bible. And how do they get on anybody's list, let alone God's list? Some things happen in your life, haven't they? You just don't think it's fair. I look around here, some dearly beloved brethren, and I think this don't seem fair to me. Look at that man back there sitting in the back, Brother Kincaid. How come he's got to put a needle in his belly button all the time? I mean, I know he loves the Lord. I've been with him. I know he loves God. I know he loves you. I know you think he's hard. I know. But I've been with him when he wept over you and cried over you. How come he's got to put a needle in his belly button all the time? I don't think that's fair. How about this Brother Steve over here? How come he can't drive? He's got to have his wife driving. Why is that? I don't think that's fair. Look at this dear couple here. Brother Brian, Judy, got that little baby. I don't know of a harder working man than Brother Brian. I don't know, man, that man's faithful. How come he's got that little baby? I mean, there's some rascals out there. There's some rascals in the pulpit out there. How come they don't have a baby like that? Just don't seem fair. Man, I'd like to do some things in Poland. Boy, I'd like to do some things. I'd like to print the gospel in a newspaper again. Just don't have the money. But there's some rascals over there sitting in some big old mansions. They got money coming out of their ears. Just don't seem fair to me. How come the swaggarts and the Schulers and all the no goods? How come they got money coming out of their ears to do things? And then where the people of God and sincerely would spend the money right and do right with the money and not spend it on themselves and try to get the gospel. How come they don't get it? It just don't seem fair to me. Have you been there? I know I'm on dangerous ground. God help me. But I only preached this morning because I couldn't find anywhere in the Bible where it said I had to agree with God. Does it ever say in the Bible I have to agree with God? I happen to be in disagreement. But you know what I know? He is right and I am wrong. Amen. He is wise and I am dumb. I am convinced that He knows and I don't know. Amen. He's right. Amen. And so if He wants to call those laborers in and give the man who only worked an hour a penny and call that man in and work all day long and give him just the same amount, the same wage, He is right. Amen. He is God and I am man. Amen. God is right. He is right and I am wrong. He is correct and I am mistaken. He is righteous and I am unrighteous. He is holy and I'm unholy. He is faithful and I'm unfaithful. He is trustworthy and I'm not trustworthy. He is comely and I'm uncomely. He is true and I'm false. He is sound and I'm unsound. He endures and I give up. He is a light and I'm in darkness. He is God and I'm man. He is omnipotent and I'm weak. He is omniscient and I'm ignorant. He sees all things and I'm blind and unseeing. He understands all things and I'm unknowing. He is the Creator and I am the created. He is the Savior and I am the saved. He is the Shepherd, I am the sheep. He is the Father and I am the child. He is sinless and I am sinful. He is strong, but I am weak. He is right, but I am wrong. Job, now I'm going to teach you. I said what all I said today. I've walked out on that precipice. It was very dangerous out there. I felt different. Didn't like it. But I'm trying to help you this morning. Now I can hope we can understand what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. See, we're talking about what faith is this morning. We're talking about what trust in God is this morning. My Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Can you trust Him this morning? Even when it doesn't seem fair. How come you got troubles in your marriage when you're trying so hard? Just don't seem fair. Can you trust Him this morning? How come you got trouble with your children when you tried so hard? Can you trust Him this morning? He says, all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You've knocked on doors and you preached and you prayed and you did what you can and it just doesn't seem to be working. Can you trust Him this morning? You go off to a frozen land and you study and you study the language and you do the best you can. And you come back with three converts and one of them is turned back to the world. Can you trust Him this morning? Abraham said, shall not the judge of all, or God Almighty said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. After Abraham asked, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And that's what he said to these laborers. I'll pay you that which is right. Amen. God is right and I am wrong this morning. And bless God, brother and sister, you need to get that down in your heart this morning that God is right. Amen. Even when it does not seem fair to you. The psalmist cried out and wept as he prayed. Realizing he was a worm and no man, a sinner before the eyes of a holy God. He said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Do not presume upon God. Can you trust Him this morning? I look across these faces this morning. I see some weary faces. I know some of the burden. Doesn't seem fair, does it? Just doesn't seem fair. Can you trust Him? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Here it is. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Look it up. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. Can you trust Him? When you look out across this land of ours, maybe into religion, maybe into churches, even good churches, preacher friends, can you trust Him? You see these other guys having great success and yet you labor year in and year out. You try to do what you think is right and you study the Scriptures and you do your best. You're convinced this is God's way. This is God's way. You're convinced and by faith you know it, but it just don't seem to be working. It just doesn't seem to be fair. Can you trust Him? Body starts to get weak. You have some afflictions in your life. Maybe some health problems. And you just wonder why these other people, they live like the devil. And they're just as healthy as horses. Why? Doesn't it just seem fair? Can you trust Him? Can you say this morning, He is right and I am wrong. He is God and I am man. If you can do that, you're going to learn what Job meant, though he slayed me, yet will I trust Him. If you can do that, you're going to enter in on Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Can you trust Him? Sinner friend, maybe the reason you aren't saved here this morning is because you just didn't think God was fair. Maybe you still don't think it's fair. Maybe you've got it down convinced in your mind it just wasn't fair that God condemned you and Adam. That you're a sinner because your father sinned. And you're paying the price today because of it. You just don't think it's fair. But can you trust Him? He's the great architect. He has all the plans. He sees all things. He sees every side. He's seen the bottom side, the top side, the back side, the inside. He's seen it all. You can only see just the outward part. You haven't seen everything. 5-6 years ago, my brother came into me just weeping because my mother just passed away. My brother's not saved. Doesn't know the Lord. How can there be a God that takes my mother away from me when she's so young? It's not fair! Didn't seem fair. He was a carpenter. I said, Derek, you're a carpenter, right? You're not the architect. Your job is to put up the boards where the architect tells you to put them up. You can't see the finished plan. He's only given you your floor plan. That's all you have. You just have your floor plan. You can't see beyond. Can you trust Him this morning? Sinner friend, can you trust Him? My Christian friend, can you trust Him this morning? Oh, I know the burdens. Maybe I don't even know your burden. Maybe just I think I know your burden. Some of you I know have suffered much more than I have. Maybe more than I ever will. Just don't seem fair. Some of you are better men and better women, more faithful. You love God more than I do. And yet you suffered affliction. Just don't seem fair. But can you trust Him this morning? I've done my best to preach. God knows I want to be a blessing to people. But we have these chairs set up like this because we call this an altar. It's not really an altar, but we call it an altar. We have them set up so you can come down here and get on your knees and cry out to God. We have invitations so that you can just assert a little bit of boldness, a little bit of humility, so you can deny yourself just a little bit. My Bible says confess your faults one to another. And we're going to give an old-time invitation. In just a few minutes, we're going to stand and sing. Number 257, I think it is. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We're going to sing that song, but as we begin to sing, I want you to come down here and get on your knees and tell God you can trust Him. Even though it doesn't seem fair, even though life hadn't treated you fair, I want you to come down here and get on your knees. We want revival. That's what this is all about, right? If we want revival, we're going to have to trust Him, see? Can you trust Him? Has God spoken to your heart this morning? Let's all stand and sing number 257. Is that the right number? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Can you trust Him this morning? Don't wait. There's no reason to wait. Come on down here. Get on your knees. I can't help but believe God has touched your life. Come on down here. There's no reason to wait. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I can trust You. Oh God, it's hard, but I can trust You. Oh, it's sweet when you trust Jesus. Oh, what a blessed thing it is to trust in Jesus. Can you trust Him this morning? Just doesn't seem fair, but can you trust Him? Some have come. Don't wait any longer. Need the healing, cleansing, I'm not really good. Just a minute. Just a minute. Just going to tell you frankly, I'm not really good at pleading with people. But I really do think that God has touched more people this morning. Some of you just need to get on your knees right now and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. It's a very dangerous thing to resist God. It's a very dangerous thing to get in the practice of hardening your heart when God, the Holy Spirit, has spoken to you. Now, we're going to sing another song. This is another opportunity for you. And if God has spoken to you this morning, then you need to get on your knees and have a talk with God. You need to pour out your complaints. You need to tell God you just don't think it's fair. And then you need to tell Him, I'm going to trust you. You need to get it off your chest this morning. Let's sing this song, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Don't wait. Don't wait. God has spoken to you this morning. Get on your knees and cry out to God.
Life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, go for grace to trust Him more.
Thank you. Be seated. We have some dear saints of God up here praying. I want you to pray. Oh, Father, life just doesn't seem fair to us sometimes. Now, Lord, I don't even know that we have a right to complain. I'm not even sure we have a right to make judgments. But, Lord, that's what we do. That's what we are. We're sinners. God, I want to say tonight, or this morning, I want to say I trust you. I think you're smarter than I am. I think you're wiser than I am. I think you know more than I do. And, God, I just ask you to have mercy upon me for not trusting you. God, have mercy upon me in this church for every time we doubted you. Oh, God, have mercy. And Lord, I know some brothers and sisters here, they got some real burdens. It's just a little bit stretching their faith to trust you. I pray you'd give them the faith they need. Oh, God, I pray that you would give us the faith to overcome, to trust you. Help us to trust you with all our hearts. Help us not to lean on our own understanding. Oh, God, we acknowledge you this morning. God, help us to say, Job, though you slay us, yet will we trust you. Oh, God, that's a big step of faith for us. That's kind of hard for some of us, Lord, because we know you. Oh, God, help us to trust you. Lord, we want revival. And, Lord, I know that we can't have revival unless we trust you. And, Lord, I pray you'd make us a trusting people. Lord, make us a people that